Spiritual maturity, guys, happens best in the context of Christ-centered community. Community, being together. God grows us with each other, not apart from each other. And it's not a solo project. The body of Christ matures as each member begins to embrace their calling, speaks the truth in love, and walks together in unity under the leadership of Jesus Christ, who is our head. I mean, let's be real. Growth never happens in isolation. You can't grow a tree or plants or flowers in a vacuum. It just won't happen. And we don't grow by ourselves either. We live in an age that glorifies self-help. You can go to the library or to bookstores if they're still open. I don't know, they seem to be closing everywhere, but you can go and find self-help books for just about anything you can imagine. Do your own thing, believe what you want, just be happy. You don't need anyone else. You can do it on your own. But in the kingdom of God, growth is communal. It's important that we become that we come together, we become one. We cannot become spiritually mature when we're isolated. We keep talking about the body of Christ and the church is the body. And God designed us that things would happen in community with real people in real mature things and real challenges. You can believe alone. You can pray alone. You can even worship alone. But you cannot become like Jesus alone or apart. Christian maturity requires community. It doesn't have to be perfect community. In fact, we'll never have perfect community. There will always be something. But we need real, honest, truth-speaking, burden-bearing, life-saving communities. Our scripture this morning is in Ephesians, and I'm in chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that builds itself up in love. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In reading that passage that Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians, the first thing that he wants to remind them is the church is not a body. It's not a building. The church is not the place where we gather to worship. The church is the people. We used to do this thing when I was a kid. We would go, here's the church, here's a steeple, open the door. There ain't no people. Then here's the church, here's a steeple, open the door. Look at all the people. That's the church. It's the people. This is just an empty building. It means, his favorite metaphor, when Paul is talking about the church, he's talking about not an organization, he's talking about a body, and he's talking about Christ being the head of that body. He's saying that we're all interconnected. In other words, we need each other. We feed off each other. I mentioned last week, trying to grow muscadines, you have to have two vines because they have to kind of cross-pollinate. Jason, in his message on Wednesday night, he was talking about this apple tree he had that didn't get any apples until this little sprout came over here, and then it began to cross-pollinate with the big one, and he started to get the fruit. We need each other for the fruit to grow. We're interconnected. I need you. You need me. We need each other. And we're also dependent on each other. There are things that you can do that I can't do. There are things that I can do that you can't do, and so we need each other to carry each other's burdens, to share each other's loads. And God designed us to be in community from the very beginning. When he looked and created man, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so he created a helpmate for him. and they lived together in community. And once that community was fractured, look what happens to our world. And we still live in the shadow of all of that sin. I can do it on my own, so I'm going to go off and do things. And we find that we're like this and not interconnected. God designed us to grow together. Paul writes in the letter of the Romans in chapter 12, he says this, "So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Then he goes into, like, some may be the head, some may be the toe, some will be the eye, some will be, you pick a body part, you can be that body part, but be that body part. We need the body. And if you're not connected to the body, what that means is you're disconnected from everyone. You're also disconnected from your part of His purpose. You're not doing what He's called you to do, what you're gifted to do. A disconnected Christ follower basically is a dismembered limb. Just cutting off a finger, cutting off an arm, cutting off a leg. There is no growth, there is no life, and there's no fruit. So we have to think of the church as the body of Christ. And in order to do that, my favorite word for the year is community. We have to grow in community. The second thing, gifts, he's talking about as he begins this section. Gifts are meant to equip us and not to entertain us. And it says that he gives us these gifts so that the church can become mature. This is what he says. He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. He gives these different places in the church, these different gifts, these different parts of the body. And these roles don't become spiritual celebrities. Well, you know, hey, I'm the apostle. Well, hey, I'm the prophet. Hey, I'm an evangelist. Hey, I'm a shepherd. I'm a teacher. You know, look at me. There's some people that are big on that. I remember the first time I went and visited another church, and when you pull up, all of the close parking spaces closest to the building were not for the handicapped, were not for visitors. It was for the first righteous bishop so-and-so and his first lady, you know? And so there's this importance on this office. And when we look at that, what happens? We tend to say, like, oh, look at this person. And we put them on a pedestal. But what happens when we put anybody, any people on a pedestal? They're going to let us down. There'll be a crack in the armor. And so we see people leave the church because of moral failings of a leader who is simply just a man. These roles aren't for celebrities, they are for spiritual servants. The job is to do the ministry for the church and to equip the church to do this ministry together. And the ministry that we do together is not just something that we get together on Wednesday nights and Sundays to do. It is a daily expression of Christ's love through His people. The church, this church, Three Point Bible Church, any church, is not going to grow if the pastor's great. The church doesn't grow because the praise team is exciting. The church doesn't grow because of these people. The church grows because the body is equipped to do the work of Christ. Every one of us here that's a believer, you're a minister. When I grew up in the Methodist church, that was hammered into us. Every single one of you are ministers. I don't want to be a minister. I don't want to be a pastor. I never wanted this. I just wanted to sit back, play music because it came easy to me and I could just kind of float through life just playing music. God had other plans. I guess I had my Saul Paul moment and when he knocked me off the donkey. In fact, Wednesday night I was telling Mary Ruth, you know, it's like, do not share. You know, that Steve and Mary Ruth were like our youth family when I was a youth. So they know the side of me that many of you don't know. And so I'm like, okay, you guys are welcome here as long as you keep your mouth shut. Ministry is not about the microphone, y'all. Ministry is not about the microphone. There are so many people that, I want to do this. Hey, I want to be a part of this. Let me do this so I can be up on the stage. It's not about being up on the stage. Ministry happens and maturity happens when the church stops being a crowd that's come to see a performance. It happens when we become a body, and the body serves each other. We pray for each other and with each other, and we serve each other. So we need to ask ourselves, are we waiting to be fed? Are we busy about stepping up to feed others? Am I watching the body grow, kind of sitting back to see what happens? Mm-hmm. Or am I helping it to grow? What is my role in the body of Christ? The third thing we need to consider here is, as Paul is urging the church into maturity, he's saying it moves beyond an idea of me to a we process. It's not a me process, it's a we process. He says this, until we all attain to mature manhood. Paul doesn't say, hey, this happens until each individual, you know, you find your own faith journey. You do you, find your own faith journey and then tell us about it, man, we'll be cool. Paul doesn't say that at all. He says we all, because spiritual maturity is a shared pursuit. The Bible uses things like we need to urge one another on. We need to tell each other the truth in love. We need to exhort. Yeah, don't extort anybody. That's a bad thing. Exhort, urge, push forward. Help others go. Carry them when they can't move. This means I need your gifts. I need your gifts to help me grow. You need my presence to help you grow. The church grows as we bring to each other what Christ gave to us. And it may be completely different. Paul writes to his letter to the Corinthians. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Your maturity is tied to our community. How are we going to grow as Christ followers here? Because there's no full maturity in Christ without this mutual ministry in the body. Somebody has to step up. It can't be the one or the two or the three people that are doing this and this and this and this, and we sit back and like, okay, what's going to happen next? Well, you know what? Here's what's going to happen next. Maybe if God is getting you to ask that question, God is moving you. And you're going to be what's happening next. You're going to start a small group. You're going to start a ministry. You know, it may not be up on the stage. You may not come up with a drama ministry or a praise team or spiritual dancing or waving flags. That may not be your gift. Your gift may be to look at the congregation and you see a visitor or you see someone that looks kind of just not connecting. And maybe God is putting on your heart, you know what? Go up and speak to them. Be a voice. Be somebody that, you know, is welcoming, a greeter. Maybe you're a teacher and you don't even know it. Maybe you're a pastor and you just haven't felt the calling yet. It's just not about Bible knowledge. It's not about our quiet time habits. It's growing up emotionally, relationally, and missionally in love and together. Immature churches will say, hey, what can I get out of this church? And we've all been guilty of that. Well, you know, I was at this church for a while, and, you know, this is the sermons were awful, so I went to this other church. Then I went to that church, and then someone looked at me one time and said I was sitting in their chair, so I got mad and I left. And then I went to this church. That's spiritual immaturity. Maturity says, what can I give to the church? What can I give to the body? We've been talking about being rooted in Christ and growing and being nourished by His Word, but now we're talking about the growth happens in community. That's where we see the fruit. We don't become mature by just listening to a sermon, listening to singing a few praise and worship songs in the car as we're driving. We become mature by serving, by forgiving, by repenting, by bearing burdens together. And we grow when we stay long enough to work through conflict and not walk away from it. Which leads me to point four, speaking the truth in love. Paul says this, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. Grow up. Man, Paul, you done gone from preaching to meddling. What do you mean grow up? You're not going to grow if all you hear is flattery or just silent. Hey, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think? You're not going to grow that way. The way we grow is when someone tells us the truth with love and we work together. How can I be better? What does this need to happen? What does this need to look like? We need each other. Some people are great at this. Some people are good at macro. You know, they'll throw a huge idea out there, but then they don't know how to bring it in and get it going. And then we have some people that are so focused on the micro, they're saying, well, here's how you make it happen. Here, 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 and here. What happens if you don't have each other? You have people just throwing stuff on the wall to see what sticks, and nothing happens. Or you have some people that just micromanage everything, so no one wants to even be a part of that. So you have to combine the both. We need everybody. Are y'all getting this yet? We need community. We need each other. Healthy community requires truth and love, not just hugging, but it needs honesty. It needs wounds that heal. Proverbs says this, faithful are the words of a friend. If you have truth without any kind of love, that's harsh. I've had people in my life that'll tell you everything you're doing wrong. They will, and it's true. And they would just keep telling you that and keep telling you that until you feel beat up and dejected and you don't want to be around those people anymore. And then you have those people that have love without truth. And that's hollow because it's like, hey, man, I love you. It's all good. It's all good. No, it's not. It's not all good. You have to have truth and you have to have love. And when you have truth and love, it's healing. Because I'm not saying something just to step on your toes. I'm saying something to step on your toes and then embrace you so that we can both grow together. We correct each other gently. We challenge each other faithfully. And we comfort each other. Community without truth, it's fragile. And community without love, it's something that's harsh and no one wants to be a part of. But we need community because community is where transformation happens. Do you have someone in your life that's just close enough that can speak the truth and love to you, and you're close enough that you can speak the truth and love to them? Or do we live in the fear of man? Like, I don't want to really tell you what you're doing wrong because, man, you might not like me. I guess now that I'm 65 and have a Medicare card, I'm past that. If you don't like me, sorry, you're stuck with me. And we'll work on it together and mature together. Maybe I'll mature. My mom is still hoping I'll mature one day. She asked me the other day what I want to be when I grow up. I'm like, who knows? Which takes me to the next point. Conflict is not the end of community. It's actually the beginning of maturity. We live in a time where we're afraid of conflict. I mean, conflict makes us tense, it makes us nervous, it gets our blood boiling, and oftentimes in the church, we see conflict, okay, that's God speaking to me, it's time for me to leave. But in the church, conflict needs to be seen as more as a classroom to grow Christ-like. That conflict is a good thing. I mean, you look at Jesus' example. Jesus didn't just whatever the disciples did. He did, oh, boys, you're great. No, Jesus would call out if they were doing something wrong. Hey, Jesus, I don't think we should go here. Get behind me, Satan. Whoa, you just call me Satan. Patience. How do we get patience? How does that fruit grow in our lives? It's formed in disagreements. where we're in situations where we have to learn patience. How about forgiveness? Forgiveness is birthed in tension. There's something that happens, maybe that hurts your feelings, maybe it was a deep scar somewhere, something in your life, but you have to learn to forgive. You can't just say like, oh, you know, I'm going to forgive. You have to be in a situation that causes that tension. Humility. How are we going to grow in humility? It's formed when we don't get our way. Hey, I got an idea. Let's do this. Well, I don't think we can do that because of this, 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 and this. Well, then I'm going to take my ball and go home. And unfortunately, that immature way is the way a lot of people approach the church. You don't grow when things are easy. You grow when love costs something. If you're only committed to community when it's comfortable, guess what? You're never going to be transformed by it. And the sixth point, my last point, growth that glorifies Jesus is measured in Christ-likeness, not in the church size. It says we are to grow, Paul says, into maturity, into Him who is the head, into Christ. We are to grow into Christ. Paul makes the goal clear that we're not growing towards spiritual inner independence. We're growing towards Christ-likeness, to be more like Christ. We don't want to become better versions of ourselves. And what's the point of that? That's vain. We don't need to move towards cultural success. Wow, you know, we've got this moving church where, you know, you just walk in the doors and blah, blah, blah. We're not going to move towards doctrinal pride. You know, I can sit up here and I can, you know, oh, you know, I've got this degree and I've got this degree. And, oh, you want to know the Greek or the Hebrew word for this. And I can just wow you with a lot of theological nonsense. That means absolutely nothing. What it means is, am I more loving than I was last year? How am I going to know if I'm not in community? Am I more honest and gentle and faithful? Am I more self-controlled? I won't know unless I'm in community. And someone says, hey, you're out of control. Am I bearing others' burdens? Or am I just focused on my own problems? Growth in Christ is always reflected in His love for people, for others. Spiritual growth is not about becoming a better version of me. It's about becoming more like Him. Because Jesus, He is the head. Jesus, He is who gives growth. Jesus, He is the center of the community. We gather here not to listen to a show or to do whatever. We are here for an audience of one. And we are here gathered to praise and worship the Lord God, creator of everything. And if it's here, like, yeah, I didn't get anything out of church today, you missed the whole point. It's what did you give to the church that day? The goal of the body is not just to be connected for connected's sake. Hey, let's just get together to get together for that sake or whatever. It's so that we can conform and become more Christ-like. How can I help you grow in Christ? How can you help me grow in Christ? So who are you growing with? I mean, you can't grow in isolation. We were designed to grow in community. And it's through encouragement, through challenge, comfort, conflict, gifts, grace. Are we isolating behind comfort? Are we hiding behind things? Are we connected to the church, or are we just attending the church? Who speaks the truth and love to you? Who are you speaking the truth and love to? Who benefits from my gifts? And who are the truth and love people that I need in my life? If you want to grow deep in Christ, we need to grow to His body. God placed us in this body for our growth, but for His glory. Oh, Father, you didn't save us to be alone. You planted us in a body. So, Father, help us grow, not just beside each other, but with each other. Not just upward in our faith, Father, but outward in love to one another. I ask, Father, that you would make us one, mature, rooted together in you, so we reflect your body here on earth. Make us a church, Father, that matures in love and in truth and in unity. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.